process. So we, Leroy suggested that because he was unwilling to commit to any course of action, he suggested that we get our attorney, Jim Taylor, to give us a legal opinion on what the code says we have to do. We believe, and we believe that the code supports that we can have a process on a first come, first serve basis. So that would mean if we get approved on April 15th, the very next Saturday, which is, I think, whatever, say it's 3 days later, we on a Saturday tell everyone that we're starting at 8 o'clock, we're taking applications for our high school, it's first come, first serve. Yep, there's gonna be a line at the door, yeah. Yup, it's gonna be insane. But, you know, unless we bring that kindness kudos bus over and, you know, give us some food and stuff,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Unless we have more, well, anyway, so that's what we're hoping, that's what we believe we're going to be able to do. We believe that the code will support that, but we're getting a legal opinion that we can take with us in hand to the first, you know, to the meeting. So when they bring that up at the Charter School Accountability Committee meeting, we can say, hey, we have this opinion.
Why would you do a first come, first serve versus just, hey, just do a lottery?
We won't, first of all, you only use a lottery unless you need one, same as existing. That's code, state code does say that. You only need a lottery if you have more seats, more applicants than you have seats.
Okay. That's by the
that's
choice
probably
applicant.
Be the case in this
well,
case,
that's during so. The state mandated choice application period. After that period, then it's based on first come, first serve. So that's where the gray area is because it's past the state set period.
Which
that if it's past that period, do we have to, you know, are we legally allowed to say this is the window for accepting applications and doing a lottery and things like that? And then that gets us into the issue of, you know, opening and knowing, like, hiring our teachers and everything like that. So we want to try to do it as soon as possible so we know what our numbers are so that we can go ahead with, you know, getting the school ready for opening in August.
I think my main concern is that we have a plan in place of exactly how that's going to be communicated and advertised
right.
to the public
yeah.
and to the community at large so
yeah.
that it's people
yeah.
don't feel like there's an insider track.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. Yeah.
Listen,
that's
as soon as we can
but
get...
We can talk about that from the outreach committee.
Yeah, I mean, we have to...
So the idea was that, you know, we, if this is how it is going to be, we shouldn't be able to have a plan in place months ahead of time so
yeah.
we can communicate that to everyone so everyone knows this is if this is how we get approved, this is how we're
yeah.
going to do it. So it's not a surprise. And we don't have 3 days to advertise.
It's good transparent.
Yeah.
But essentially you're advertising it, this is all contingent
yes.
upon us getting the approval.
And
so.
I feel comfortable
yeah.
that once we get that legal opinion from Jim Taylor, we can actually start, I mean, we need to set up a committee who's going to figure out this communication plan, like, right now.
Why couldn't we send out, hey, we're to send out feelers to say, if this was to happen, and who would be interested? So that
we
have 90 people
yes.
interested in third grade.
So
like,
that's
okay,
one
well,
of
that
the things
us...
that we are going to do, because that also strengthens our application, is we're going to solicit some letters of intent from current Sussex Academy families, from current Jefferson School families. And then there's a number of organizations that Jefferson works with right now in the Georgetown community, Hispanic, African-American organizations. We're actually gonna go, this is the idea, that we're gonna go to them in the community, talk about what could be happening, and then solicit letters of intent from
yeah,
those groups as well.
For the whole county.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So the office is getting a lot of phone calls, and Ann is fielding them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their biggest concern, is how are they going to know?
Yeah.
So what I'm telling them is, as of right now, what we're planning to do is distribute that information through the media
mm-hmm.
and our websites.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. As soon as we can.
Right.
And basically, we don't even submit the modification. There's nothing is existing now, so
that's
nothing's going to come out
them.
Until after
yeah.
December 31st
that's
when
exactly
we actually submit
them.
The application.
This isn't even happening.
Yeah, we haven't even voted on it yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it would be for next year. And I also think that we have to figure out, too, the whole sibling, how the sibling
yeah.
issue works with bringing in different ages.
Like, do you have to do the sibling first and figure that out and then open it up
like,
to know how many
survey,
you have?
Do we survey all the current?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And then find out, and then is that, do they have to decide whether or not they're going to enroll siblings or can they, like that, that's something that would have to figure out. Like,
it's the same as it is right now. You have one opportunity to opt for your sibling children to come in. If you don't exercise that preference at the time, then they move to the they move to the wait list just like anyone else does. Okay, so we're still in discussion around my motion.
Yeah.
Is there any further discussion? Sorry. To back up, the motion was to host, to hold, and
to hold
a special meeting on
December 18th at 1 o'clock.
Was it second?
Okay, so is there any other discussion? Okay, all in favor of holding that meeting?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Okay, back to though the preference. Don't we need to discuss that?
I think that's a meeting. I think it's a
Okay.
Is it also possible, like, for this meeting, we're going to be discussing this proposal. Can you send that proposal out?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we get it, we'll send it out. That definitely. And what we'll do is, just like for this meeting, we'll create an agenda. We have to have the agenda published 7 days prior to the meeting, so we'll do that. We'll post it and all that. So I feel like it'll be a short meeting, but we are going to, we'll vote on the agreement. We will discuss the merits of removing the special preference from our charter, and then that's probably it.
Did we talk about the electronic lottery system?
That's next.
We're doing that tonight.
Yeah. All right, so
next. are there any other questions on the what's happening with Jefferson? Not a lot of action since our last meeting. Like I said, we've just really been working on hammering out the terms of this agreement.
Do we need to, back to what Lance said before, do we need to either give him permission or not to conduct that study?
Yeah, but I...
Last time it came from the foundation and your dad approved it. So I don't know if I just need to get his permission.
I can tell you he'd approve it.
Okay. I think he did verbally before, but I
does that mean he approves paying for it too?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And if he doesn't, I'll do it.
Then that's not for us to vote on. That's just,
that's the foundation board.
Yeah. Thank you. Foundation. Thank you, Joe. Okay, great.
Okay, next item is the lottery waitlist.
So wait, hold on. So, Lance, can you, you're going to go with that?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get that going.
So, at last month's board meeting, we talked about switching from our current process of how we conduct our lottery, which is we put every student's name in an envelope, and then we do a live drawing by the envelope. The other option, which a lot of charter schools have transitioned to, is a third-party company does the lottery for them, which is Data Service Center. We already do accept the applications and everything through them. When we left the last meeting, we said we would follow up on and give them a call and find out what that entails. So Andrea took care of that, and she's going to give us kind of some information on what she found out.
So I was able to call Katie Simmel up at Data Services. She's the Director of Operations, and if the board votes to go that way, she's very excited about doing that. She loves holding the automated lotteries. But anyway, so there's no cost.
Oh, really?
No cost for them to do it.
Why were we doing that?
They do it there themselves.
Where are they located? Data Services.
Dover. Yeah. So she'd like to meet with us at the beginning of December.
They're in Newcastle.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're actually owned by Colonial.
She's in Newcastle, I'm sorry. She's in Newcastle. So she would like to do meet with us in the beginning of December for about an hour to give us a walkthrough of what happens. But basically, they will do, they'll take as much time as we need after the lottery just to make sure that all the siblings have been accounted for and all, you know, the preferences that we have. She said, they'll do the mailing for us, which is huge because we try to get that out within 24 hours. So that's over 300 pieces of mail. And they'll also email with the results to the parents.
We pay for data services. It's just free as a part of what we already pay.
Oh, it's already, because we use them to, everyone submits applications through them currently. So it's just another, it's part of the service, but we're not fully utilizing all the service.
I'm like, yeah. Where are you getting paid at?
Okay. We don't pay. DOE pays.
I mean, that's even better.
Yeah.
So what are the... What are the downsides? So wait a minute.
Where does this happen? Do this up on the server up there, or they come here and have something and have display, and it's all people can come in and watch it?
Is it done? Give us the results?
There's no more live lottery.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, I've never been there, but I've heard people get pretty excited.
A lot of lottery schools have gone to them now.
Yeah.
And it's third-party accredited, which is great. It has nothing to do with us. We don't do anything here. They're third-party certified.
They can't say people
rigged it or anything. It's just like validated, verified. So,
I'm going to set something up with her beginning of December.
Anyone see a downside to it?
No. The only thing I'm wondering is that when does the lottery happen?
Same day, same time, and normally we say, so January 22nd at 1 p.m.
And everyone gets an email that night?
No, we'll have to review it probably the next day.
Okay.
And she said we can pretty much take as long as we want if we need, 48 hours or more.
Okay.
She said you lay the ground rules.
I think we want to do it as fast as possible.
The only question
I agree. So if it's Wednesday, we can review it Thursday. Mm-hmm. Maybe those letters can go out Friday.
I think as long as we make it clear, like, you will be notified, because I think that's the thing, is people kind of have that thing of, like, we'll know what's going on as of this date at this time. As long as we are clear on what that is.
And what do we review? I mean, literally, it's just, like, executing
making sure we don't forget about any siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure we, like, all the preferences were correctly applied so that we don't,
So my only question was that, January, everything happens, we have the wait list, we have people accepted. In April, we get that Jefferson School is approved and now we take applications there. And there are kids who apply and they have older siblings who will come to middle and high school, and now we have 45 other kids that we have no space for.
Well, except that just like we do with the regular lottery, Uday, we have to estimate. We have to leave open a certain number of spots that we, just like we do now with when we do the sixth grade lottery for ninth graders coming in who may have siblings. We don't know how many ninth graders are coming in, right? So we always leave a certain number of spots open. We don't assign numbers to them because of the possibility. And if we have too many open spots, then you just fill them. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what we do now, and we're hoping with...
That happens with the wait list anyway. So as we start going through the wait list, a kid that wasn't originally offered a seat gets offered a seat, but then they pull a sibling in. There may or may not be a seat for that sibling, but then they go to the top of the wait list until a seat becomes available.
The sibling will go to the top of the wait list?
Yeah, because they then have that preference. Gotcha. So we always go to preference first.
Is this, you have to create the allowance on the top and the bottom now.
Can't throw out.
Because it could be coming from both ways.
Mm-hmm. Because that would be, the wait listers will not know for a very long period of time for the next year. Because if there are 90 kids calling already, there'll be a wait list in elementary school, then we'll be doing the same process there. Well, I'm just kind of throwing it out.
Coming here, it's just going to be a mess.
Unless, because we don't know, we don't apply the preference from bottom up for that year, and then from next year we can do it. And because there is so much uncertainty, I don't know if we can carve that out. Because I don't know if the middle school and high schoolers will be sitting for 4 months not knowing what's happening, because a second grader will bring in three other kids to middle school and high school where they went through the lottery system and applied in September, October, and now.
But that's why communication, we were saying that, I think that is critical, transparency, communication, this is where we're, and then everybody knows this.
I'm just saying that like a kid who wants to go to sixth grade or seventh grade is applying right now, we opened it up.
Right.
You know, on January there is a lottery, and now we are holding 45 seats, anticipating something is gonna happen. So that kid is now sitting second number on the wait list, waiting till May or June, the Jefferson situation is resolved. I'm just thinking whether we should think something differently if we can do for the first year, but we don't have the preference for the Jefferson kids coming in, and then from next year we have everything going, because it's just not fair for the middle and high schoolers who have applied in November, and they're waiting till May or June, waiting to see.
I mean, we're still gonna do our lottery for the high school and the middle school as normal. I mean, we still have to do that. I mean, we can't hold spots or hold contingencies on what might happen. With the other ones, that's not legal. We have to still run our lottery the way we run our lottery with our high school and our middle school.
Yeah, and offer the spots.
And offer the spots that are available. And then if siblings pull them in, then
you go to the top of the wait list. Preferences and acceptance. That's a good point he brings up, though. I think I heard what you're saying. Is there like retroactive preference? Meaning, like, if
it won't be able to kick a kid out.
If a second grader gets into Jefferson, does that second grader then have the authority to get their older sixth grade sibling retroactively into Sussex Academy?
Yeah, because
if there's an opening.
Preference is not acceptance.
But let me ask you something. Today, if there was somebody who gets into I don't know how it works for like eighth grade or ninth grade, but gets in this year, can they simultaneously then, since they got in, get their sixth grade sibling in?
Yes.
Even though they happen at the same time? But how does that work? Because you don't know how many spots to leave open.
So what happens is because we do our middle school lottery, so that happens first, right? Our high school, we do only a wait list because we can't technically accept anybody until after that March cutoff date where they commit to where they're going, because we have to assume that whatever number eighth graders we have are going to matriculate into the high school. Right. So every high school student just gets a number. So once our middle school lottery is run, then what we do is we have our middle school lottery, but then if a sibling of a high schooler gets in or somebody who applies for the high school, they automatically then get that preference. So then they would move up before anybody's even offered a seat. Andrea can't call and start offering seats to high schoolers until that cutoff date in March, when we know how many of our eighth graders are
going to stay. I'm actually saying the opposite, though.
Yeah.
If an eighth grader gets in March and they have a sixth grade sibling that did not get in the lottery that happened in January, can they retroactively get their sibling in because they are now
get them to the top of the list, but if there's not an open seat,
they can
seat,
get them to the top of the list. Okay.
Preference is not accepted.
It always has been that way.
Yeah,
but we just
that's how it should be. It would be impossible for it to work the other way.
Yeah.
But then that's how it should also be for when we.
That's how it would work K-12.
Yeah.
That's how charter, that's how the law rule.
Preference is not equal acceptance.
Yeah. But didn't we say also too, after this all goes around one cycle, that after this is all done, that it's just going to be a per grade lottery?
Or is that starting this year?
So that would
be per grade lottery versus a six in.
Yeah, it would be per grade for people who reapply that didn't get in, that want to apply as a transfer student.
Right. So if there was a spot available, say, hey, this year we have 3 spots in fourth grade, 10 spots in seventh grade, and 8 spots in 11th grade. There's 20 people, you apply, you do a lottery for it.
Yeah, exactly. And then depending on how many seats are available, we just go through whatever their number is. So no, if you're applying for 7th grade or 8th grade or 10th and 11th or whatever is not an entry level grade for that school, then you would apply. You would then get assigned a lottery number. We may not be able to let know if you're going to be able to get in until June.
Yeah,
doesn't know until people withdraw and say they're not coming back for the next school year.
But moving forward after this year, right, after this coming school year, when we're established as a K-12, then the preference works the same way it does now. So like when you get accepted, your sibling on the bottom or the top comes in at the lottery. Do you know what I'm saying? At the admission process time.
Hold up. Yeah.
And then those numbers are put on top before we even figure out how many spots we're going to have.
Right.
That's how it works right now. It's just right now it's tricky because of this difference.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Just for this year, you know, I don't know how, because
we want to be able to do anything this year because it wouldn't be legal. So right. What we can't say because we're going to hold so many spots for a hypothetical approval to an elementary K through 5. We have to run a business as a 6 through 12 school, and we can't make any projections or hold any seats based on what we think might happen in April. That's not legal.
Yeah, because if all of a sudden we fill all 240 seats in elementary school, we'll have so many preferences that you may have seats for.
Yeah. It's going to make it different.
Interesting.
Anomaly.
We made it a lottery for preference children.
So we are going to try to implement the wait list goes away.
Oh yeah, so we already discussed to be in line with the state charter law that we eliminate the wait list every year. And emails have already gone out to parents that were on current wait list to let them know that was happening and that they have to reapply. And I mean, and honestly, most people are probably going to be in favor of that unless you're like 1 through 5 on the wait list.
Yeah.
So we might upset like 20 people, but like 100 or 150 people are going to be happy. And it makes most sense because as Andrea can talk to, sometimes she's got calls 20, if we're at crunch time for our September 30th count, she calls 25 people that are on a wait list that applied 2 or 3 years ago and they have no interest anymore in our school. That by them reapplying is demonstrating interest. So she knows when she calls that number on the wait list, they're going to be somebody who wants to enroll their kids. So she's not going to have to go through days and weeks of waiting for responses to be able to try to make us get to where we need to be for our September 30th count. Mm-hmm. Right, Andrea?
Right.
Okay, so then we're going to need a motion on allowing data services to conduct our 2020 to 2021 lottery. Is that correct? It's going into that, for the next year, so that will be January?
For that and
Yes, so does anyone want to put that forward?
So moved.
I'll second.
So Chris made the motion. Who seconded?
Precious.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. And now on to new business.
So new business. I know Alan discussed at the CBOC committee the possibility of money for the holiday bonus. So I thought you could bring that up, and then the board would need to vote on whether we want to use the money for that purpose.
Included in our preliminary budget, there was $35,000 for employee recognition, and historically, the board does approve a set amount for each full-time employee at this time of year. So it's in the budget. I believe we have 75 full-time staff members.
I don't remember what it was. We talked about it, but
okay.
Not clued on it,
yeah.
So what, do you need us to give permission to use the money for that purpose?
Traditionally we do, yes.
Okay, all right. So I make a motion.
Do we have to decide how much, or that's decided by the...
You can structure it in your proposal, and that Fran and I can work together to not exceed $35,000. Come up with an amount, because we've got to back out the OECs, because it's over 33% of OECs. So
466.
But
they
can't
the
do that amount because there's a 33% OEC rate on top of that.
Right.
So we got to back it out.
But your desire is not to use it all. If there's some left,
it will just help with that overage of substitute pay.
Okay. I just didn't know what the goal was.
Yes. We're not going to exceed
that fund or to.
What did we spend last year?
Was it 325 or 300?
It was 350. I figure by the time they took the taxes out, you got 300, which we'd start with when we did the gift cards and stuff.
So we don't need to specify the amount.
No, Franny and I can work together once we figure out who our full-time staff members are.
Okay, well then I'm going to make a motion that we authorize the administration to distribute staff holiday bonuses not to exceed the already budgeted amount of $35,000.
I second it. Would they?
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And now on to the...
One abstention.
Oh yeah, I have to abstain. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Any abstain?
Sorry if that was rude. I remember for sitting there.
Yes, I forgot about that. The USDA grant.
Okay. We were trying to fast track a new science lab for the high school last year, and we really were having a lot of trouble getting the finalized plans that we needed to get the building permit. So the decision was made to sort of step back, spend this year trying to get it what we want, get the plans early so that we could get someone on board to do the construction and move forward. So we're doing that. We met this week with an architect who's going to work on the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing plans using the basic floor plan that we already had developed last May. I am applying for a USDA grant in the amount of $50,000 to help with that. The total cost, I believe, is $230,000. That's inclusive of all the furnishings, the cabinets, the sinks, the countertops, etc. Yeah, $230,000. Their grants, we received one to buy the furniture for the middle school, and so I'm applying for the furnishings for that. So the casework, the cabinets, the sinks, whatever else we can get with that $50,000. They have a new process. It's now up to 32 documents. So I've been pulling them together, even though I don't have an approval by you all. But one of them is a resolution from the board that says two things. One, you agree that we can submit this, that the board is agreeing to submit an application for a grant. And two, it authorizes the head of school and the COO to sign any grant-related documents so we don't have to keep running back and forth to the board president. Even though I had two for Marty to sign tonight, but
good stuff for him too.
All right.
Okay. So that's what I'm asking.
Okay, so I will make a motion that we do I have to use the word resolution?
Yes.
Okay. I make a motion. How do I say that though?
You want the resolution?
Please. I make a motion for a resolution agreeing to apply for financial assistance with the United States Department of Agriculture and Rural Development to finance the renovation classroom conversion to create a new high school science lab. Be it further resolved that the executive board authorizes the head of school and or chief operating officer to sign all documents relating to the USDA rural development loan and or grant. That is the motion.
Second.
Chris Moody seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Pass that to Andrea okay. So she can type it
in word for word.
Thank you.
Would that construction be in the summer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is for the science labs?
Yes.
And there was one, then there was talk of doing two or something? Or
one is a classroom that's going to get some cabinets with sinks that backs up to the science lab. So it really is a conversion of one, and then going through the wall to bring water from there to the ones on the opposite wall.
So the USDA grant will be 50, and then how much is the Sussex Academy Foundation putting in?
We haven't given us an amount yet.
Okay. So we'll have to come up with some of the money ourselves.
Perhaps.
I think so.
Or we could argue that $50,000 is our part of the money.
Hmm?
that we could say that's our contribution is the grant that they applied for.
Yeah, but I don't think that the foundation committed to the entire balance.
No, they didn't. And they did for the 75% of the student center.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to agree to the same amount, 75% or not. I know it's on the radar screen.
Yeah, and Joe has has stated publicly that their intention is to fund a portion of the science lab construction. He committed to that, and that is not going to change with, the Jefferson School stuff.
And the first round of grant applications are due December 12th. That's why I needed the vote tonight, because we want to get in the first round. Otherwise, they may not have the funding in round two. And the person who's coordinating this has a couple kids at Delmarva Christian Elementary School, but has interest in our elementary school.
I'm sure.
So I definitely want to get these papers to her.
Okay, great. Do we have anything for
meeting?
All right, are you sure? Okay.
All right. I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce one of our teachers that are visiting here from our partner school in Italy. So Carmelo is right here behind everybody.
Buongiorno.
Nice to meet you.
So Carmelo is staying with me, and Miss Messina is hosting the female teacher, Tina, who had the luxury of being driven home before the meeting. But Carmelo did not, so he's still here. So, but if anybody wants to chat with Carmelo, he is in the back of the room.
Quick meeting.
Sounds good. All right, so then we are going to adjourn the meeting at 5:15 p.m. and go into a motion for executive session.
No executive meeting.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'm going to adjourn.
All right, adjourn the executive session. All right.
I just want to say on the record.